Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kirin Industries Limited Q1 FY 2027 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Kirin Industries Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2027. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. I would now like to introduce you to the management participating with us in the conference call. We have with us Mr. Manish Giri, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Jayesh Hirani, Vice President, Accounts and Finance, Mr. Suresh Gundalia, Company Secretary, and Mr. Ranjit Singh Chugh, CEO, Indo-Asia Copper Limited. I would now request Mr. Manish Giri to give his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the earnings conference call for the first quarter of financial year 2027. I hope you are all keeping safe and well. Let me begin with an update on our integrated copper and fertilizer project first, which continues to remain at the core of our long-term growth strategy. In the quarter, the project progressed from the design stage into a structured construction phase, supported by timely deployment of capital from the group's strengthened financial position. Orders have been placed for several long lead mechanical, electrical, and utility packages for the project, with finalization of remaining major packages at advanced stage. In parallel, key enabling infrastructure continue to advance, including captive jetty desalination facility, dedicated raw material conveying system, and project's long-term power infrastructure. The downstream of copper facilities are planned to be commissioned in phases, with the copper tube targeted by quarter one FY 2028, followed by a copper rod plant FY 2028, and copper refinery in quarter three FY 2029. We are also progressing on our engagement with the international mining companies and global trading houses to establish long-term sourcing arrangements for the copper concentrate and rock phosphate, the key raw materials for the project, while continuing to evaluate opportunities across our downstream value-added product portfolio. Overall, the integrated complex remains aligned with our long-term strategic roadmap, and our focus remains on disciplined execution and timely achievement of the next project milestones. With that update on our new platform, let me now turn to the performance of our existing dyes intermediates, and basic chemical business. Of the environment for dyes intermediate industry in the first quarter FY 2027, I think active dyes, phenylsulfones, H acid, and certain basic chemicals strengthened during the quarter, supported by tighter global supply, higher feed, and continuing impact of environmental compliance measures on manufacturing facilities in China. Demand trends, however, remain mixed across product categories, while input cost pressures persisted. Our major raw materials to oil prices, which increased during the quarter, resulting in higher input and operating costs. However, improved average selling realization across portfolio gathered the effect of higher material imported and helps us in profitability. We continue to see improving business ties the chemical situation. The improvement is realization key driver of revenue quarter. Customer base continued to support business. During the quarter, material margin 31.9% compared to 23.5% FY 2026.
I'm sorry to interrupt, sir. Could you repeat your last question?
During the quarter, our material margin improved 1.9%. The improvement was primarily driven by favorable pricing differentials, with average selling prices rising faster than average raw material prices. We remain focused on maintaining pricing capacity wherever opportunities exist and sustaining operational level.
For the quarter, on a standalone option.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. We are unable to hear you.
Not able to hear?
Yes, sir.
Is it better now?
Disturbance.
I think there is a disturbance on the line.
Disturbance on line here.
There is continuous disturbance on line here. Is it better now? Are you able to hear me?
Sir, can you come more closer to the mic?
Now?
No, sir. Let me just reconnect you.
I think you have to reconnect.
There is some problem in the line. Even I hear a lot of noise when I'm...
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management has been reconnected. Yes, sir, please proceed.
Sorry for the disturbance. Now, coming to the financial performance for the quarter, on a standalone basis, revenue from operations for quarter 1 FY27 stood at 295 crore, registering a growth of 63% year on year. The growth was primarily realization-led, supported by improved average selling realizations across dyes, dyes intermediates, and basic chemicals. Standalone EBITDA stood at 17 crore, with an EBITDA margin of 5.86%. Further, other incomes earned during the quarter amounted to 284 crores, which mainly included earnings from the treasury management. Hence, the profit after tax stood at 270 crores. On a consolidated basis, revenue from operations from quarter 1 FY2027 stood at 312 crores, registering a growth of 55% year on year. The growth was led principally by improved price realizations across the product portfolio rather than by volume. Consolidated EBITDA, including share of profit of associates and joint venture, stood at 37 crores with an EBITDA margin of 7.84%, with a profit after tax stood at 270 crores. The significant increase in profit after tax during the quarter was primarily driven by strong contribution from other income. Other income stood at 286 crores, primarily comprising interest income on intercorporate loans and realized and unrealized gains on treasury transactions undertaken by the company. This was further supported by improvement in the underlying operating performance, driven by better realizations and better margins. Finance costs reduced sharply following the repayment of borrowings at Claronex Holding Private Limited, leaving the group substantially free of external debt. The share of profit from associates for quarter 1 FY2027 stood at 21 crore, representing a 30% increase over the preceding quarter. The contribution was primarily from Longshan Kiri, in which the company holds 40% equity interest and management control. Looking ahead, medium to long-term outlook for our dyes, dyes intermediate, and basic chemical business remains positive, supported by steady textile demand, tighter global availability, and sourcing trends for favoring non-China supplies. As one of the largest global producers of H-acid, we believe our existing capacity provides headroom to participate in rising demand without significant additional capex expenditure. Sustaining margins, however, will remain dependent on our ability to pass through input cost movements. The fertilizer opportunity is also supported by India's continued dependence on imports, particularly in DAP and key intermediates such as phosphoric acid and ammonia. Against this backdrop, the phased commissioning of our integrated complex is aligned with the widening supply gap of both refined copper and phosphatic fertilizers. Our focus remains on sustaining the improvement in our existing chemical business, maintaining a prudent capital structure, and executing the copper and fertilizer projects in a disciplined and timely manner as we build the next phase of growth for Kiri Industries Limited. With that, we can now begin the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Suresh with Barham's Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. I'm Manish, sir. I'm Suresh.
Good morning
Mary.
To you. Yes, welcome.
Sir, you remember, sir. I'm
Yes, sir.
Sir, imagine if you are also a partner of shareholders in a firm and you did not receive any capital returns or dividend returns even after 10 years investment. As a fellow partner, as a shareholder, please think about this scenario and make a decision. Please don't take this wrong way. But ultimately, what a shareholder truly wants and deserves is a return on investment. You try to give me dividends. Take the my suggestion and request. Don't think wrong way. Please try to understand.
Yeah, see, few points to address your question and very well put forward. Number one, we, as you have seen, we have reported the one of the strongest quarter in the history of the company in terms of performance. So the performance is what the company is saying and we promise to you. And the performance has, I think, matched or met with the expectations in terms of our growing requirements of capital. Now, number two, with that, as you have already seen, that the company has embarked on executing one of the largest greenfield project in the history of the company. And looking at requirements of the capital going forward, looking at the new growth trajectory, which we have already highlighted earlier and executing right now, the board of the company and we all decided to keep the the capital to fuel this growth. So whatever company has been waiting on achieving certain performance due to the legal and litigation problem that we faced for a period of 11 years, now having that behind us, the growth path has started. And first quarter has shown that growth, and we will continue to improve the performance of the company. So my humble request to you is to look at how the performance is changing, how we are building new businesses, and how the capital is prudently deployed on in the growth of the company. You know, so that's what we would like to focus on.
I am asking.
So, just to answer, the dividend is not being declared, and there is no decision of the board to declare any dividend yet. If that changes in the coming quarters, we'll be very pleased to inform the shareholders and to you.
You invest in growth side in new projects, but in long battle, wait for investors also in the case. You are winning the case. At least you invest a major amount in expansion, but little bit amount you will give the dividend. Shareholders also happy, investors, and the stock price will not give the dividend. So many investors in the money control rumors, you don't think otherwise. Some rumors in management is not conservative. That is wrong. But you will give the little bit dividend, you are almost investors also happy. Yes. That's you think you have taken board of directors decision?
Yeah. And we have taken your point, your individual point positively. Company is not making its decision based on the rumors or cannot make it with rumors. There are equal number of shareholders who have also contacted a company and informed company that, you know, they are aligned with the company's decision, you know, to grow the capital, to grow the return, and to grow the equity return for the shareholders in coming years, utilizing the funds prudently and properly, correct? So there are equal number of shareholders who are differing the views presented by your individual view, but we take your inputs positively, and we see how we are able to to decide in the best interest of the company and its shareholders, and the larger pool of shareholders.
we have their good decisions, sir. You have you take feedback and you submit to your board of directors meeting. You have their
sure.
decision. Until
we
yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Suresh, I would request you to please come back in the queue for further questions. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you are requested to limit your questions to two per participant. The next question comes from the line of Veer Jain with Mahavir Fabric Family Office. Please go ahead.
Mr. Manish, I'd like to know if there is any update regarding the financial closure. And secondly, I also want to know the exact scope of Tata Consulting Engineers in the project, because when I was surfing their website, I couldn't find our project listed in their list of projects. So, like, I want to know what they are exactly doing as the project managers in our project. Thank you.
So, your second question. First, TCE has been deployed as an owner's engineers of the company since the end of last year, and they are involved in project management and control. They are overseeing all the technology, transfer in terms of the checking and approving the drawings, the designs, and they are involved deeply in the detail engineering as well. So there is a larger scope of TCE, and TCE has been on board, from November 2000, yeah, from 2025, right? So that's number one. Number two, financial closure, a complete financial closure has not been achieved yet. We are there on the debt raising. More than 50% commitments have been received. Rest is in process. Then we hope that in the next few months, we should be able to reach the complete financial closure. Thank you.
Thank you. Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question comes from the line of Ashit Kotari, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Manish Bhai.
Thank you, Ashit Bhai.
I would just wish you a happy Independence Day in advance. And I would want to understand how our copper project is progressing and what is going to be our capital requirement and by what time we will be cash surplus from the projects.
Happy Independence Day to you as well. And the capital is continuously being deployed in the project, and the total capital requirement as per the current estimate would be around close to 12,000 crores on the project itself, and additional requirements would be related to the infrastructure, the supporting infrastructure that we have been building. So that is the outflow in phase one. This outflow is continued to happen over a period of next 2 years, not immediate. So monthly on quarterly basis, as we have disclosed, the CapEx has been increasing and the funds are being deployed in CapEx. So that's one area. 2027, part of the facilities will be operational, mainly related to the downstream products of copper, consumer products of copper. And then 2028, beginning of 2029, the full facilities would become operational. I think Duksa is with me. And
I am Ranjit Singh Chu, CEO for Indonesia Copper and Fertilizer together. At the present, we are focusing on the downstream product so that the capital which has been employed from our own kitty starts giving some returns. So in that regard, a 35 KT plant of tube plant will be operational in June 27, and in August September 27, 2.25 lakh tons of the CCR continuous rod plant of 8 mm will be operational. These will be operated from imported cathodes primarily coming from Japan, because the cathodes which come from Japan do not come on premium. They are pure LME grade cathodes, costing wise. Then, and if you look into any such kind of plant startup, it does take some time to stabilize. So by January 28, the whole complete, these two plants will be stable, fully operational, stable, and you know, running in a nice thing. By that time, we'll make our part refinery operational, which will convert anodes to cathode, LME grade cathode, which is part, when we say part refinery, means it will be 1.75 lakh tons. To complement that, we'll be utilizing scrap from various sources, whether ingot, pitch, blister, etc. Use our melting scrap melting furnace, which also will be commissioned by December, January 26, 27, 28. So by 28 January, we'll have scrap plant started for operation, and which will produce anodes, and that anode will get converted to LME grade cathode in refinery. So this much portion of the downstream will be fully operational. Whatever will be the shortfall of cathode requirement, that will anyway procure from the market. At the same time, we envisage to start another other value-added product in the same period, exactly same period, or let's say bus bar, a small quantity, but they'll add value to the our you know, value addition will be there, plus post balls, post copper balls. So these two will be operational at the same time. Then the next phase of journey will start. In between, we will be in a position to start copper foil business of minimum 5,000 K as first round of trial product, which is highly value-added product, meaning that today, if you look in India, the copper foil is imported with the LME grade copper plus 5,000 USD additional premium. Of course, there will be, OPEX to it, but irrespective of that OPEX, this is a very, very valuable product. So we will be starting that with trial orders, trial production for 5,000 KT, where the complete system will be built for 10 KT, which we call phase 1. Our aim is to be phase 1, 2, and 3, to make it 40 KT, for which we have already gone to central government to be part of ECMS scheme. So this also will be operational in, I'm looking at 20 months from now. So if you look at 20 months, March 28. These are value-added products. Balance of the plant, which is primarily the smelter surface, the sulfuric acid plant and fertilizers, will be operational in first quarter of 29. So these are the typical timelines as of now we have put ourselves into, or set targets based upon this, which in any such parlance is, I think, so 6 months faster. People take a minimum 36 to 40 months. If we, whichever way we count, will be around 6 months, 5 to 6 months are here.
Sir, have we tied up with a raw material requirement for next couple of years? Is it a long-term contract, fixed price?
Yeah. Normally what happens in copper concentrate business, the what we call as long-term contracts are typically done for 2 to 3 years on an average. Last year, for copper, there are two big conferences happen across the world. One is London LME Week, which happens typically in October, and another is CESCO in Chile. So we have participated in both of them, and we have been discussing and doing a lot of rounds with the miners and the trader stakeholders. So today, as we speak, we have got a firm window of approximately 1 million ton of copper concentrate. It's only window we get. We get what we call MOUs, basically. And the MOUs get firm prior 3 to 4 months prior to our requirement. In our case, we'll firm up in terms of costing, the contract costing, bonded contracts in October 28. That is the time in that LME, yes, these contracts are actually converted into, let's say, contract. MOUs are turned into contract. So as we speak today, we are having MOUs of 1 million ton of copper concentrate. And if we go for our 100% production, we'll be requiring around 1.5 million or 15 lakh. So yes, this is a journey of only 1 year. Last year went, this year again, when we go to October, I think so the visibility will go up from one million to 1.2 to 1.4 million. So we are pretty confident because last year we did not have much to showcase. This year, I think so at site, like now today 1,000 people are working, civil and mechanical, and things have come over ground for tube and rod plant. So obviously the things, as things have changed physically at site, so will be the thought process of the people who supply copper concentrate or raw material to us. So this is what is the situation.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Mehul Panjwani with 40 cents. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah. Yes, please.
So, sir, when will we record the first revenue from the copper business in which quarters of FY27?
I think Chuksab just mentioned it could be somewhere around, you know, first quarter, end of first quarter, May, June 2027. I mean, so that would be 27-28 financial year first quarter.
Yes, Q2 will get
So Q2 you will get commercial. Yeah. So quarter one, quarter two, you are looking for next financial year.
Okay. And sir, when will be the complete, overall total top line which we are expecting from the copper, when will that be targeted and by what timeline we are expecting to achieve it?
Financial year 2029-30.
That is Q4.
Yeah, that financial year is the one which will capture majority of the operational revenues.
Right. And sir, how are we placed to service the debt which we have taken for this project?
So, just addressed by Chuksa, 2027-28 is a financial year where the cash flow will start coming and building. So from 2027-28, 28-29, and 29-30, all 3 years, company will start moderately ramping up the cash flow from the stepwise operations that will start. So there'll be parallel cash flow coming as well.
Right, sir. And sir, where is the site? Thank you, sir. Thanks. Sir, where is the site for the copper? Are we having multiple locations or it's a one site?
One location near Pipavav Port.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manoj Kumar with Adinath Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Manish bhai.
Manoj ji, always welcome. Good morning to you.
Yeah. My question was regarding our current business of dyes and chemicals. We
yes,
have got almost 13-14 major products in our product line and with huge capacities. And most of the capacity is remaining unutilized, I think. Around 40% we are using, 60% is still unutilized. Right, sir?
So the last quarter we utilized average capacity about 60%. And
Yeah, we still have 40% unutilized in various plants combined together.
Yeah, what can be our ideal situation with 100% capacity utilization? How much can be the turnover and how much can be the profit we can generate? Because around 31% margin is there in material margin is there.
Right. So now the market has improved. We have seen the prices have also increased. And we started slowly ramping up the capacities provided demand support that, correct? And we do not want to compromise the margins on account of just building volume. So it's cautious approach where we are ramping up, but ramping up profitability. If you look at the consolidated EBITDA of the, you know, of the quarter, probably, you know, with now legal costs behind, as well as the improvements in the industry situation, we got 37 crore of including the JV's operations. So that's, you know, that's a good number if you ask me, and that is where we would continue to build upon that. So if the market supports, then from 60% to 70-75% at least we want to achieve during this year as an average capacity utilization, Manoj.
And these two products which you were referring to, HSC and vinyl sulfone, we have got good capacity, around 7,200 metric ton for HSC and around 12,000, 13,000, 15,000, I think.
Yes.
For that.
Yes.
And the prevailing prices, I was just calculating, the annual turnover from these two products only will be almost 800 to 1,000 crore rupees.
Yes, true. So yes. If this
and what about other products? Can we achieve a turnover of around 2,000 crore rupees from our dyes business?
If we are able to achieve close to 75 to 80% capacity utilization, and if we are able to sustain the prices which are there currently, because today adjusted prices is in the range of, you know, 800 to 900 rupees, which used to be 400, you know, 350 rupees earlier, correct? So you are looking at the double the pricing than the average pricing earlier. Similar situation with vinyl sulfone also. The prices are almost 70-80% high. No doubt the raw materials have also increased, substantially. But if these prices continue for the next 1 year, then yes, we can have much higher revenue, and the numbers could be even double than the average. That means if you are looking at 1,200 crore of revenue, it will just on the price increase and the capacity utilization improvement, it could touch close to 2,000 crore. Yes.
But why our profitability is so low? Because our own subsidiary, Lonson Kiri, is having a fantastic result, fantastic EBITDA margin, and fantastic PAT margin also. On a turnover around 368 crore, they have earned around 71 crore rupees EBITDA and 51 crore rupees PAT.
Right.
What prevents us from repeating those figures in Kiri?
So there are different products in JV and different products in Kiri, right? Kiri is selling raw materials to JV, and JV captures the finished products margin. So you, when you look at and compare, you know, the supplies of raw materials from Kiri to JV, the markup and the value-added profits and the margins are captured at the JV level on the finished products. So when you look at the totality of the picture, then you capture the entire value chain margin.
Okay.
So to see the entire value chain margin, you have to look at combined operations of Kiri and JV. That's one. Number two, there are certain chemistries, certain product ranges which are prevalent in and which are set up in JV are not in Kiri. So there are, even though dyes are produced at both the ends, the products are different as well. More than 50% of the products are different. For example, JV produces indigo, while Kiri doesn't do it, right? Similarly, JV has certain advanced chemistry which standalone Kiri doesn't do it, right? So there are different products and value added on the finished product. These are the two differentiating factors. So when you look at the total picture, that gives you the correct picture.
We are having 40% stake in launching Kiri, whereas in Kiri we have all the money with us. Can't you replicate those things in Kiri? Add those products in Kiri. Is there exclusivity? Some clause is there?
I think based on the agreements between Kiri and Longchen Kiri also, which are existing. And even though Longchen Kiri continues to have JV operations, it's operated run management by Kiri even today itself, correct? So there is no point in creating inter-company competition by replicating what they do to Kiri and destroy the margins in the market. So strategically, even though Kiri may consolidate 40% of Longchen Kiri, the higher we stand on Longchen Kiri, the better beneficiary Kiri is. And 60-70% of JV's raw materials anyway go from Kiri. So there are very close linkages between two companies in terms of raw material supplies at a very high volume and also value added 40%. And that has been structured since the beginning and there is no disturbance in that. And if you look at the overall supply chain globally, and JV continues still to be, even after exit from Dystar, the largest single supplier to Dystar as well, even though we have exited from Dystar. So from operational point of view, from strategic supply chain point of view, I think it is well established and we don't see any reason to deviate from whatever is working.
Right, sir, right. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Manoj.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Anurup Nair, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Manish. Congratulations on the result.
Morning.
Thank you. Manish, the question I had was, maybe this is a repeat or I missed this on Chuksal's commentary. So given the tube and rod plants are commissioning a quarter apart, does the previously guided 20,000 to 25,000 crore FY28 revenue still hold? And the second part of that question was, what is the basis of making the projection? Do we already have an established sales channel, a customer base, etc.?
Number one, that number is dynamically moving number. So that 20,000-25,000 of revenue in 27-28 doesn't hold. Let me first clarify that. And lot of installation and delivery of the machinery depends on the vendor's timelines, and that also keeps moving. And that is precisely the reason that every quarter we keep updated on the progress, and that is how we will also keep informing you as and when the revenue projections becomes clearer and clearer. So that's one. On the other side, the clientele base which you refer to, today as a country we are highly import dependent. So whatever we sell would be all import replacement. And to the extent if we look at the market survey and the numbers that are prevailing for the last year, consumption of copper in India at 1.8 million ton, almost two-thirds of that requirement has met by imports. Correct? So when we are talking about selling the entire output of the facility only to substitute import, sales is not a challenge. And now, but of course we need to have the quality approved. We need to go through the approval process from the customers, but selling is not a challenge. Selling is basically having the established current channels to be filled up with domestic production
replacing the import which is happening today. So that's not a challenge. As long as we are able to produce and as long as we are able to secure the raw materials, we don't see sales as a constraint to generate revenue.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much. So just one softer question is, I just want to understand what is the role of the marine jetty? Because if I'm not mistaken, our plant is slightly inland, still close to the port. So I just want to understand what is the role of the marine jetty.
So near the port, a separate jetty, dedicated jetty, we realize is very important because of our bulk imports and continuous imports of products like copper concentrate, rock phosphate, ammonia, and bulk handling at the port is currently a challenge because it's mainly a container port, and containerized cargo is being handled there. So we are almost near the port, not too far away, but separate jetty provides us in terms of operational cost optimization, and plus the dedicated unloading of the bulk vessels that we will be getting. So from logistics point of view, from operational point of view, as well as long-term operational cost point of view, it was necessary to have this kind of infrastructure to support the project.
Understood, sir. That gives a lot of clarity. Thank you so much, sir. Those are my questions.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kaushal Kedia with Woolford Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for my question. Sir, I just wanted to know what is the update on the MCV copper gold project, where have we acquired the mine?
Right. So we are already now a part of, MCV copper gold project. And the development of that mine has not started yet. The design has already been completed. Currently, if you look at various announcements in the public domain, there has been a shareholders disagreements on certain areas, which are currently being addressed. And good part is that there are many financing offers received by the project. And we got regular updates from the project as well that the development of the project and the participations in the development for financing the project is also quite positive. So we hope that before the end of the year, we get a good news of project completing their financial closure and start the development of the project. But it's quite positive and they are on it. We are not actively involved in terms of the management or operations there. We are more of a passive player in terms of providing our inputs there. But we continue to monitor and watch the development.
So right now, what should we assume that will we get access to the offtake out there? Is it a high probability?
Yes. No, we have already structured 70% of the offtake to come to us. That was the key.
No, but so there's no chance of the thing not coming to us, like, because I think Celsius is still litigating.
There are shareholders disputes and litigations ongoing right now. And Celsius is objecting it is offtake, but I think based on the overall assessment of the situation, and looking at Celsius, continuous attack on the other shareholders there, it seems that the matter has been now put to the court, and we should have some clarity on that as well. But as far as the majority shareholders are concerned and our earlier discussions are concerned, which still hold, and we are hopeful that that Celsius, who is trying to derail the development of the project, doesn't put
kind of you know barriers to stop the development. So let's hope so.
It is still the matter is still sort of in process. We don't have like access to either 40% or 60%. Like, what is the worst case scenario in this? Because this is very important. If this is in place, then we have access to you know, copper concentrate, which is everyone's doubt. So what is like,
right,
if you're comfortable to answer that, sir, right, not this juncture.
So as you know, the matter is subsidized, right?
Okay.
And because the matter is subsidized and Celsius is in the court, we would not comment something, you know, that the court is looking into, because it would be rather speculation from our side, correct?
Okay.
And as you are aware, you know, once the court decides on the matters involved, then we will have more clarity, correct? I would not speculate something, you know, before the judiciary makes the decision on the shareholder situation first, correct? And let that be sorted out, and Kiri continues to remain a lender. The position of Kiri is still a lender today, correct?
Okay.
And we continue to remain lender, right, till things are sorted out, so that we can, if our money needs to be returned, it's to be returned. If the benefit is not secure, right? Let me, you know, so that's the way we are looking at it. So we are sure that if the development of the, but we continue to provide our commitment to the project, we continue to support the project, and we continue to make sure that whatever is needs to be done on ground to support the project, to develop the mine, we are fully supporting. While Celsius has not been, you know, supporting to the, you know, as a shareholder, what they should be doing. So actually we are fulfilling the mine's commitment, you know, and we hope that is being looked at positively by the stakeholders as well as by the court.
Fair. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Vivek Joshi, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I just want to get some more idea on the copper project. We had requested earlier also that if you can give us the update as to the capital employed and stuff on the copper side, it would be very useful. So can you give us an update as to how much capital is there and how much is equity and how much is debt among the current balance sheet?
You mean on the total project or currently it is all equity inclusion?
Currently as on the balance sheet, how much of, in the copper project, how much of the capital is allocated to the copper project?
So today the total capital deployed in the project is 1400 crore, right, till now.
And all is equity, or is it like half equity, half?
No, that's all equity right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on the balance sheet, you still have some loans. So whom are we lending money now?
We still have loans. You mean the borrowings?
No, we have like given loans to people. So like,
yeah, these are all part of the you know, part of the treasury activities that we do.
Okay.
And some of the loans, yeah, and some of the loans are intercompany loans.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Swaroop BV, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a follow-up question on earlier question. The thing is, you are saying that all the margins have been passed on to Lonsen Kiri. But what's actually, have you considered the tax impact, sir? So what happens is, now since you are passing on the margin to Lonsen, they are earning 100 rupees and 25% is paid as tax. Then later on, 70... Yeah, no, Lonsen Kiri pays... No, assume their turnover would be 100 rupees. EBITDA would be 100 rupees. Then later on, they pay some tax. Then net profit of Lonsen Kiri would be 75. Then later on, Lonsen Kiri declares dividend. And that 75 we receive. Then again, later on, Kiri again pays 25% tax on this other income. And don't you think there will be a 40% tax effectively, sir, on whatever net that we are?
If you look at, you know, the transactions between the companies, it's are all arm's length transaction, number one. And we have to be conducting arm's length transaction complying the law, correct? So whatever, you know, whatever raw materials are supplied from Kiri to JV, those are again arm's length transaction. And then whatever earnings that happen at the JV, that happens at JV. If you look at the last, I mean the quarter's number, 16 crore is the EBITDA generated by Kiri, and 21 crore is 40% of Kiri's EBITDA generated at JV, right? So, so whatever are the profits, they are parked wherever these profits are generated, right? So if they are generated at JV level, they are at the JV level. If they are generated at Kiri level, they are at the Kiri level, correct? And then whatever tax applicable at each level, we pay that tax. That's how we should be working, correct?
So is there any update on stake sale, sir, regarding 40% stake sale? There were talks earlier.
No, there is no talk. There is no such discussions currently.
Understood. Sir, my second question is with respect to, like earlier you had guided a 1,200 crore EBITDA for FY 2027-28. So basically, right. sir, on what basis is the assumption made, sir? For example, in 2027-28, if we process rods and tubes, hardly have a EBITDA margin of 15 to 20,000 per ton. Even if we process 1 lakh ton, our EBITDA would be hardly 200 to 250 crore. But what you are projecting is close to 1,200 crore. On what basis is this projection made, sir? Such a huge gap variation. On what basis is this made, sir?
Right. So if you do a simple math, right, it all depends on when the facilities become operational, and there is no hard line here. And I just mentioned earlier as well, the projections are changing. They will keep changing based on the timelines to make the facilities operational. Correct. So, as I referred earlier, these numbers will change, and this number are not the number, which are numbers on the existing established commercial operation, correct? So we are projecting something where there is a moving target on starting and establishing commercial operation. So you need to take that variation, you know, into consideration. Number one. Number two. Even if you do 1 lakh ton in today's prices, right? That comes to 15,000 crore of revenue just from 1 lakh ton, correct? And if you make, and if you make 6% on it, right?
No, then sir, also it becomes... how will 6% be made, sir? When you are purchasing cathode from outside now, sir, how can 6% be captured on only standalone rod and tube plants?
I think you should study what are the price structures for the products such as copper, tubes, rods, wires, right? Correct? How these, you know, price ranges exist in the market, what LME markup, you know, each of the downstream products is prevailing in the market. When you look at the consolidated effect on the prices prevailing on LME plus operations in the downstream products, you will see these kind of numbers.
Perfect. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir. But last question, yeah. Sir. With respect to MMCI, would we be still interested in being a PDAP partner, or would we be attaining some stake in MMCI mine, sir?
We would definitely be interested, 100% interested. It depends on how the overall situation resolves, from the litigation perspective.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arijit Malakar with Ashika Stock Services. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. Fine. First question is that for your copper business, for which companies, mining companies, you have tied up for your long-term sourcing?
Well, there are leading miners and traders. they are global companies. We would not be mentioning everyone's name here because there are confidentiality involved in the agreement executed. But they are the leading providers of the sources of copper with whom we have done.
Okay, got it. My second question is that, sir, you have told that the maximum revenue from the copper business will be achieved in FY30. So when your debt repayment process will start?
Based on the, because today the company has not done any drawdown on the debt, right? And
okay.
And considering the moratorium which has been allowed, the debt repayment will start somewhere in 2029, not before that.
Okay, got it, sir. Thank you. That's all from my end.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Manoj Kumar from Adinath Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Manish bhai, once
again. Welcome back.
My question is, my suggestion was, why don't we structure Indo-Asia fund requirement from equity?
Hmm.
Because market is very good and our financial strength is very good.
Hmm.
So that we don't have to take any loan whatsoever.
Well, then the return on equity will reduce if we do that.
No, right? No. Why it will sell? When it is a huge project and the profitability will be very good, and we have already issued shares at the rate of 278.
Right,
last allotment was made from Indonesia at the rate of 278. Then we can command a very good premium in the market. If we issue share at around 500-700 rupees, depending on the market demand, we can have enough money to fund our
business. Right. That's definitely an option there.
So we are not at all burdened with any loan repayment, term loan, whatever it is. We are free from all those hassles.
Right. See, the look at the numbers, and I agree with you from the angles that you have just mentioned, and it would actually it would help the management also to have lesser stress, isn't it? You know, on the
And recently we have taken a equity infusion in Indonesia also from one roundabout around
232.
Why don't we tap all those persons who are interested to invest?
Right, we can. So we have
keeping our stake at more than 50%, reducing and diluting balance forces for financing of the project.
So here is the answer to you. So we definitely have that option, and we have tested water, as you have rightly said. Okay? So we have tested water means there is an interest, and that option still remain a valid option. The trade-off happens here in a sense that if we are able to successfully execute the project without diluting today, right, and generating profit, building numbers, and then dilute, right? There is a huge delta upside for the shareholders of Kiri, correct? That means that the value creation by deferred dilution post execution of the project, right, would be much, much higher. So that value capturing for Kiri shareholders would provide more benefit to the shareholders. And with that in mind, to look at the larger interest of the shareholders' value creation, we are putting a capital structure what has been decided today. But again, as you have said, there is always an option to do that and complete the financial requirements if we need. And there is enough interest for that. We have tested, we have invited and we have seen the real infusion, so that is there as a plan B, but we see how we can progress from here.
Regarding our Odisha foray, One interview, the MD of EPCOL had stated that Kiri is taking, participating in some agrochemical complex near Dhamra Port.
Right.
What is the status of that?
There has been discussion on certain chemical projects, the large one, which we would not embark on right now till we make the existing projects operational. But it's part of our long-term vision. And you know, any approvals also take time. So there are certain chemicals, specialty chemicals that we have looked at. Again, those are part of the import substitute and import replacement requirements for the country. But it's quite far currently. So it's all preliminary stage. And where we have serious interest to develop a large chemical complex somewhere near port there. And government has given us quite a good support in terms of incentives as well as in terms of the requirements which such project might attract to. So we continue to explore these opportunities. But execution, will be sequentially and not parallelly.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we're able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations managers at Valorem Advisors. Thank you and wishing you all a great day ahead. Happy Independence Day to all. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiri Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.